Hey everybody, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. And as I always say, week after week, I feel so incredibly grateful for all of us to pause and to take the time to show up, because as we know from doing this years and years, there's just something really powerful about coming together in a group and strengthening these healing ideas in our minds. So before I share the page references, let's just do a very brief turning within. If you're in a place where you can close your eyes, obviously not if you're driving, but if you're sitting down quietly, if you're able to just allow your eyes to close, and turning attention within, and connecting with your sense of willingness. Your willingness to see differently, to hand over beliefs, perceptions to spirit. Touching your willingness to loosen the world from all you thought it was. And in your mind, imagining handing your willingness over to our inner teacher, saying, here is my willingness, now show me, show me, show me, show me the miracle instead. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice, deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Ah, beautiful. So again, just a quick review of the page references. I'm reading from the Complete and Annotated Edition on page 788. It's the subheading, A Review of the Laws of Healing. That corresponds to the Sparkle Edition, page 610. It's called, in the Sparkle, Review of Principles. In the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, it's chapter 26, part 7. In the FIP, it's called The Laws of Healing. And in the, what's this called again? I just blanked for a second. The original edition by Course in Miracles Society is chapter 26, part 7. So very good. Let's begin our review of the laws of healing. This is a course in miracles, and as such, the laws of healing must be understood before the purpose of the course can be accomplished. Let us review the principles that we have covered and arrange them in a way that summarizes all that must occur for healing to be possible. For when it once is possible, it must occur. And I will pause there. I am hearing a little bit of background noise. Somebody actually who just may have called in, it might be your line, and I think you just muted yourself, so thank you so much. Okay, so the laws of healing. So this section is basically going to be reviewing some of these really healing ideas that the course is teaching us. And I love this sentence that for when, it's the very last sentence we just read, for when it once is possible, it must occur. So in other words, the moment that we release those blocks, there's the moment that we let healing just rush in. And I feel like you know, we have like little healings along the way as we do this work because of our development of trust, because we're not quite certain yet that love is truly what we want. So it seems to come gradually and in phases. But it is true that healing is already here. We are already whole. We are already complete. But, you know, we're blocking our perception. We're blocking our awareness from actually fully realizing that. So let me just go ahead. I'm going to read the next paragraph here because they're both kind of short. All sickness comes from separation. And I have to just emphasize for a moment, when the Course says all or every or always, it means it. This is literal. This is not metaphorical. So all sickness comes from separation. All sickness comes from separation. When the separation is denied, it goes. For it is gone as soon as the idea which brought it has been healed and been replaced by sanity. Sickness and sin are seen as consequence and cause in a relationship kept hidden from awareness that it may be carefully preserved from reason's light. And I'll just pause there. So again, just to emphasize, this is saying that all sickness comes from separation. The truth of who we are cannot be sick. It is impossible. And we have chosen to have sick minds by believing that we are separate from God and limited to these bodies. So all sickness is coming from this belief in separation. And it's up to us to start to learn how to deny the separation, how to deny our denial of truth. Because when we do that, and the separation is denied, we recognize that the separation never occurred, their healing just immediately flows into our awareness. So it says, for sickness is gone as soon as the idea which brought it has been healed and been replaced by sanity. So this next sentence is interesting. Sickness and sin are seen as consequence and cause in a relationship kept hidden from awareness that it may be carefully preserved from reason's light. So if sin is the cause and sickness is the consequence, that's hidden from our awareness because it's what keeps the dream of separation going. If we don't clearly see that and don't clearly bring it to the light, it's able to just still kind of lurk in the shadows and keeping the ego thought system, the belief in separation going, because we're not looking at it, we're hiding it. So that's why it's so important for us to continually take our beliefs and our perceptions to Holy Spirit to not hide anything. So I feel like I just said a lot. I'm going to pause. Any questions or comments or insights coming up from anybody so far? Any sentences that stand out to you?
Yes. The sentence that reads, the second part of it, in a relationship kept hidden from awareness that it may be carefully preserved from reason's light. What relationship? The relationship with Spirit and God?
The relationship of sin and sickness. So we're hiding the fact that we believe in sin, and that we think that sin causes sickness. And actually, this is going to clarify a bit in the next paragraph because it's talking about how we feel guilty and that guilt asks for punishment. And we grant that request by obeying and taking it out on the body, like by being sick.
I totally get it.
Yeah. So, yes, that's the relationship that we keep hidden. We don't want to know that we're doing this to ourselves, because otherwise we would stop if we really knew, you know, that this was something that we were, you know, taking an active part in.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Great question.
Thanks.
I heard your kitty, too. The cats know where the good energy is.
Yes, that's Grayson.
They know where the good vibes are. I was just on a podcast interview 2 days ago, and same thing. The guy had a cat, and it was all over the laptop screen when we were trying to do it. It was great.
He wants to go out. He's out. He'll be quiet, hopefully, for the next hour.
Lucy's here, too.
Yep. I thought so. So any other comments or questions before we read the next paragraph? Okay, So this first sentence is, I just sort of dove into that, this idea that, well, let me just read. Guilt asks for punishment, and its request is granted. Not in truth, but in the world of shadows and illusions built on sin. The Son of God perceives what he would see, because perception is a wish fulfilled. Perception changes, made to take the place of changeless knowledge. Yet is truth unchanged. It, truth, cannot be perceived, but only known. What is perceived takes many forms, but none has meaning. Brought to truth, its senselessness is quite apparent. Kept apart from truth, it seems to have a meaning and be real. Perception's laws are opposite to truth, and what is true of knowledge is not true of anything that is apart from it. I love this paragraph. So as I mentioned before when we were talking about the last paragraph, so guilt asks for punishment and its request is granted. There's a footnote here from Robert Perry that says, combined with the previous paragraph's discussion of sickness as a consequence of sin, this means that sickness is a manifestation of guilt. Our guilt over believing that we actually pulled off the separation asks for punishment, and we grant its request by manifesting sickness in our bodies. Whoa. So that's big. Now, it's a mistake if we're listening to this and we are sick. It is a mistake to feel guilty, to feel further guilt surrounding being sick. I always make a joke when I am sick, I will say, you know, I'm defending against the truth right now. Like, I'll actually, like, you know, use the course's teaching to just, like, make light of the situation. So it's so if anybody's listening and you're dealing with anything, even if it's like a paper cut, remember that at feeling any guilt over being sick is just further strengthening the guilt. It is so important to catch that and to bring it to Holy Spirit. This is looking deep, deep, deep. What we're reading is looking at the core of the ego thought system. It can be really uncomfortable for the ego to look at, and it's going to want to say, oh, you're guilty. See, you shouldn't do this core stuff. But that's so important to catch and to bring to Spirit.
Corinda?
Did I hear somebody? Yes. Deidre.
Sure.
Hi.
Yes, hi. I just got on the call a little bit later, so I was just wondering, can you repeat the last line that you said just before you said whoa?
The last line that I said just before I said what?
You said whoa.
Oh, why did I say whoa? I don't even I don't remember now. Does anybody remember why I said whoa? What's that?
Guilt and sickness.
Guilt and
sickness.
Okay, yes.
Between guilt and sickness.
Thank you. Because, yes, this is talking deeply about the relationship between guilt and sickness. So we think that, you know, because we believe we pulled off the separation, that we're asking then for punishment, and we grant that request by manifesting sickness in our bodies. That's from the footnote here, and I think that's when I said, well.
We grant the request by...
So it says, our guilt asks for punishment, and we grant its request by manifesting sickness in our bodies.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's when I said, whoa. So that's like a deep teaching. And, yeah, that's when I started saying the importance that if we're dealing with any kind of sickness, it is a mistake to feel guilty about being sick, because that's just strengthening the ego thought system.
So are we doing that on an unconscious level?
Yes. Yes. Sometimes conscious, you know?
Conscious, yeah.
Sometimes conscious for sure. And then, yes, I'd say mostly unconscious.
And that's one of the reasons why it can be particularly difficult to consistently hand it over to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because we're not even aware we're doing it.
Right. But, yeah, 100%. 100%. And yet, that's this gentle, you know, this, what I just read sounds really like, oh, you know, kind of shocking. But there's also such a gentleness to the course and to this pathway where our motivation to want to, you know, watch our minds so closely and to want to hand things over comes from the recognition that we have through the experiences that we share on this call that, like, this actually really does make us happy, and we don't want to keep anything hidden, even if there's stuff going on behind the scenes right now in our minds that we're not even aware of. So, you know, like, yeah, like, I want to bring that up because I want to heal that. So
yeah,
I agree with you.
That's a good point.
Wholeheartedly. But yes, but our motivation is building. It is building. So, okay. So let's go back to this paragraph because it's got a lot of really juicy nuggets. So, okay, we spent some time now on sentence number one about guilt asking for punishment. The next sentence, the Son of God perceives what he would see because perception is a wish fulfilled. Perception changes made to take the place of changeless knowledge, yet is truth unchanged. It cannot be perceived but only known. So this is also really, really powerful because it's saying, again, I'm reading this, the Son of God perceives what he would see. So we're perceiving a world of chaos and conflict and separation because that's what we wanted, because we wanted to experience ourselves as separate beings, autonomous, apart from God. And that was a choice that, forget about just having made it once, you know, long ago or whenever, we make it every moment when we are choosing to perceive with the ego instead of turning to the Holy Spirit. So that need be our only focus, is on this moment and choosing for the Holy Spirit again and again. I just love how it says perception changes and it was made to take the place of changeless knowledge. There's not one thing in this world that is changeless. There's not one, you know, everything here changes. Everything that we perceive changes. Nothing lasts. And it was made to take the place of changeless knowledge because it's so damn convincing, right? It's like when something goes down in our lives or, you know, again, turn on the news, it is so convincing and it was made to be so, to take the place of changeless knowledge, to keep us utterly mesmerized and fixated on it instead of remembering what's in our minds already. So this is big stuff. We're getting nice and hardcore tonight. I love it. Questions or comments, insights, sentences that you like?
Corinne?
Yes.
Hi. This is Elisa.
Elisa, hi.
Hi. I'm still on that first sentence from the last paragraph about guilt, and I don't have the book in front of me, so excuse me if I try to recall.
Yeah, no problem.
So it was something like the guilt and, like, it was the first thing you said at the last paragraph.
So I think I said, I may have been reading the footnote, our guilt asks for punishment and we grant its request by manifesting sickness in our bodies. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part, like, our guilt asks for punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just gave me goosebumps. I was like, whoa.
Uh-huh.
Like, it made me think of, like, different times in my life or even just throughout the day when I feel guilty about something, let's say, and it could be so minuscule. It could be like literally, so right now I'm inside of crunch time trying to get my taxes done with my accountant, and I feel guilty about it. Guilty about waiting to the last minute, all the stuff. And I feel my throat is hurting. Like, I feel my body just like fatigue. Like, I feel myself trying to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, because I feel so guilty about it, there's a part of me that's like, oh, you know, you really deserve this. This is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm like literally inside of that space right now. Like, I am.
Wow.
That, like, yeah, I deserve it.
You're seeing it so clearly. Oh my gosh. That, and so now, so don't stay there. The next step immediately, you've seen it clearly. I mean, you just gave a perfect example for what we just read. Now the next step is not to keep that, but now say, Holy Spirit, I see it. You know, I see this happening. Here you go. I'm willing. I am willing to know my guiltlessness. You are guiltless. Your accountant is guiltless. There is no guilt. It's all perfect. This is exactly what a beautiful learning opportunity. You would not have been able to see this in action had you not waited to do your taxes till the last minute. Like, this is perfect, you know?
Right.
It's a divine
right.
opportunity. We should celebrate this.
You know what? It really is. Because on the other side of, like, you know, me crunching the numbers, pulling out old receipts, there is this little quietness, this background stillness that's like, oh, wow, all of that's opening up. Like this, I mean, just this greater sense of eagerness to move forward this year and be conscious of my spending and make sure I'm being aware of my bookkeeping. Like just like all of this is bubbling up and, you know, this is my first time having assistance. And, you know, the other part of that is that this is someone who I know, she's a friend, and I couldn't afford to pay her regular price. And so I think just by nature of seeing me struggling and slapping out, just she's like, okay, let me step in and help you out. And so even with that, my mind is like, oh, my gosh, you haven't even paid her, and what is your problem, and this, and, like, literally all of that. And I'm literally every moment having to recreate the truth for myself that I am guiltless. Mm-hmm. And really the universe is serving me on a platter exactly what I needed because, like, before
yes.
she called, I was like, oh, I just really need help, and I was in my head, and, you know, I didn't want to reach out to her because I'm like, I didn't want her to be, you know, thinking like I'm asking for her assistance for free when this is her living, and she called me out of the blue, and she was like, how are you? How are your taxes going? Because she just kind of knows.
Wow.
Knows where I was at, and then she just kind of took over. You know? And I'm just sitting here like, wow, as I'm getting sick, battling like, oh, like I said, there you go, Alicia Vai, you deserve this. But really, to speak to your point, recognizing the blessing in it all, like the universe is like, oh, here, darling.
Here's some help.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
And we're going to talk about the exact, you know, behind-the-scenes unconscious pattern on the study group call because you're going to see it so clearly so you can heal it. So you can give
yeah.
it to me. Like, That's perfect. That is perfect. So, yeah, take it to Holy Spirit. Say, you know, just what I said before, be willing. You're seeing it clearly. Hand it over and ask for the truth instead to remember the truth.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a perfect example. Oh, wow. Was there somebody else who wanted to ask something? I feel like I heard somebody come off mute a moment ago.
Yes.
Yes.
These two paragraphs are game changers for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
In a positive way. All sickness comes from separation. It's an aha moment for me in so many ways. And then the second paragraph, guilt asks for punishment, and its request is granted. And just yesterday, I was doing some healing work with someone else, and the topic of punishment came up, and that there's a clear belief in my mind that needs to be healed, that I have a need for punishment. And perhaps that's why this situation has presented itself in my life for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just, I'm doing back handsprings inside right now at the joy of finding it. It won't be easy to heal, but I'm happy that I found it.
I'm going to challenge you on what you just said. That's an ego belief that it won't be easy to heal. So take that belief over to the Holy Spirit, too, because there is no order of difficulty in miracles, ever.
Thank you for reminding me.
That's what we're here for. Oh, awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, I love it, too. Thank you so much, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Wow. Anyone else? I'm just re-looking over the paragraph to see if there's anything else I wanted to highlight. Anybody else want to jump in?
Corinne, I just wanted to say really quickly, I keep hearing Jean-Marc in my head saying, you're already innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to share that piece.
Thank you. That is it. That is it. Yes. We are already innocent. We are innocent right now. So any voice, if you repeat that to yourself, I am innocent, and that little voice that might immediately creep up and say, oh, no, you're not. Here's your laundry list of reasons how you're not innocent. Use that voice. Write those beliefs down, and then there you go. You've just exposed more ego beliefs to take to spirit. So that's how we repurpose that voice. Deidre, I'm really glad that you just said that too, because you just reminded me of something else that I wanted to add. I did a video blog on this a while ago, and I was noticing a pain in my body, and it was lingering for a few days, and I kind of had that like voice in the back of my head, like, you know, what is that? And I opened up the course and read, I don't know where it is at the moment, but the quote that I read said, the body will remain guilt's messenger and will act as it directs as long as you believe guilt is real. And I'll say that one more time. The body will remain guilt's messenger and will act as it directs as long as you believe that guilt is real. And that was like a jaw dropper. Like that was like a moment of, you know, feeling like the like the sun suddenly started shining and the clouds parted. I realized, you know, it was saying that as long as you believe guilt is real, it's not saying as long as you believe that the body is real, as long as you believe that guilt is real, the body will be guilt's messenger. I'm hearing my echo. So if you're on a cell phone, actually, if you wouldn't mind maybe muting your line. Actually, Alicia, but it might have been your line. I just saw a little sound bar next to your number. So if you wouldn't mind muting, thank you so much, my love. So if we believe guilt is real, and clearly we do, so there then is another belief that we've now exposed that we can take to spirit as well. So that belief in guilt is exactly what needs to be, what is already undone. As Deidre just said, you are already wholly innocent. We need to remind ourselves of that. That is so incredibly important. So I just wanted to share that little story. Good, good, good. Yeah, these are game-changing paragraphs. Let's read the next paragraph. Yet has God given answer to the world of sickness, which applies to all its forms. God's answer is eternal, though it operates in time where it is needed. But because it is of God, the laws of time do not affect its workings. It is in this world, but not a part of it. For it is real and dwells where all reality must be. Ideas leave not their source, and their effects but seem to be apart from them. Ideas are of the mind. What is projected out and seems to be external to the mind is not outside at all, but an effect of what is in and has not left its source. God's answer lies where the belief in sin must be, for only there can its effects be utterly undone and without cause. So God's answer is the Holy Spirit. There was an earlier section where I know that the Course says, like, you know, you ask the question, God gave the answer, God's answer is your teacher. And so this answer that's written with a capital A, God has given us the Holy Spirit as the answer to the world of sickness, which applies to sickness in all its forms. God's answer, the Holy Spirit, is eternal, and although the Holy Spirit operates in time where the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit operates in time where the Holy Spirit is needed. But because the Holy Spirit is of God, the laws of time do not affect the Holy Spirit's workings. The Holy Spirit is in the world, but not a part of it. So that's just such an incredibly powerful reminder that God has given us the answer, the way out. The Holy Spirit is everything. We're not ever asked to do the Holy Spirit's job for it. We're asked to step back and to let the Holy Spirit do its thing.
Oh, my God. I so needed that reminder. Because sometimes I'll talk to the Holy Spirit, quote, unquote, and then I'm like, wait, Holy Spirit, how is this about to happen? Wait, it's not happening yet. When it's going to come?
Right.
When am I going to? And, you know, that sense of make you go, oh, yeah, I don't have to do anything. The Holy Spirit can take care of it.
Yes, 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 times a thousand. That is it. Paula, were you going to say something? I feel like I may have seen you come.
Why isn't the Holy Spirit mentioned here in this paragraph?
I think because it's just referring to the capital A answer, because it's already actually, wait, there's a footnote. Yeah, it says, actually, it's funny, the footnote addresses that. God's answer here, though not specified, is almost certainly the Holy Spirit, since a similar focus on God's answer, the same, you know, capital A answer, is found two sections before this, and there the answer is the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of already referenced Holy Spirit earlier, so it's just kind of picking up on that idea again.
Wow.
I love, isn't that just so beautiful, the
idea
of the Holy Spirit as the answer? Like, the Holy Spirit is always the answer.
Wait, Corinne, talk about this. Ideas are of the mind. What is projected out and seems to be external to the mind is not outside at all, but an effect of what is in and has not left its source. Oh, what?
Okay. So right before what you just read is also the teaching, ideas leave not their source.
Right.
And their effects, but seem to be apart from them. Ideas are of the mind. What is projected out and seems to be external is not outside at all. So here again is this teaching that the entire outside world is a projection coming from the mind. And Robert Perry, the lead editor of this edition, he has said this, and I believe that he's right, that there is we individually have our dreams, our projections, but then there's a collective component as well, because we're all, kind of bumping around, we're bumping into each other's elbows in each other's dreams. So what is projected out and seems to be external to the mind is not outside at all. The world that we think is external is not really out there. It's all coming from our sleeping mind that is still in bed in heaven, but it's just taking a snooze. So it's what seems to be out there is coming from within, and we play our small part in, not even a small part, it's a big part, just our part is to constantly be willing to take it back to the level of the mind, in recognizing in our own lives that healing comes at the level of the mind, that this is all somehow coming from me. I talked about that in a few different places in my book, with in particular that one example of when my husband was nearly clobbered by a lifeguard boat, one of those big wood boats, because it went sideways and started it was out of control, and it was hurling his way, and the only reason he was okay was because he threw his body backwards into about 6 inches of ocean water, and the boat just careened by inches above his nose. And I was horrified and went mute for 24 hours, and the only reason I ended up working through that and not banishing him from doing those events forever was because I said, finally, I don't understand how this is coming from my mind. Like, I don't know. I can't fully wrap my head around how I'm projecting outward, like how that actually is working, but I'm willing to experiment with the idea that that's the truth. You know, I'm willing to try that.
So wait a minute. So the experience that you witnessed wasn't really happening at all?
In truth. It is in the dream, for sure, but in truth, we're in heaven. Like, there's part of our mind that's still, we're all in heaven, and then there's part of our mind that's just sleeping. And so that's where it's like not like, so just like when we wake up from our sleeping dreams and we just had like a nightmare and we have that like, oh, that's all that was.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a dream. Like, that's going to be the exact same, I think, you know, type of reaction. Like, when we wake up, it's like, oh my gosh, I was just dreaming all that. So it's like a wild, convincing hallucination here. Like, it sure seems extremely real, but it's coming from our sleeping mind. So I'm talking about
That's really why there's no death.
Yes.
That's
100%.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
we are being asked to wake up to that, to experientially know that, not perceive it, not just intellectually understand it, but to know it. And so that's the course is leading us to awaken to that. And in that awakening, that's where fear falls away, you know, issues fall away. That's just where all the healing just then flows in.
God. There are so many levels of insanity that I guess you got to just take them one level at a time.
You got to just be where we are at. Yep, we have to just be where we're at. And I just, you know, as we do this work, like I was just with a friend over the weekend who has had some big spiritual openings in the past and currently is preoccupied with two young children that are like, you know, getting sick all the time and they're getting hurt all the time. And there's all this stuff going on. And I was telling her about some actual like spiritual experiences that I've been having lately. And she just looked at me and she's like, I'm just in another, like she was so sucked into the form that like she said, I can't relate to this at all right now. Like it's just not her reality. So we can get sucked into the form. We can get sucked into the picture. We can do that. We'll keep doing that until we get tired of it. And then finally, we'll start to, again, remember to choose again, to go vertical instead of staying in the horizontal plane, to choose again because it's much gentler.
Oh,
that's right.
Thank you for sharing that, Corinne. the story of your friend, I found it really helpful because I feel like my experience in my schooling in the last year, I feel like I've been really sucked into the dream of like how things are supposed to be and look and experience and everything. And so your friend's reminder is just like, you know, all I have to focus on is really allowing God to use me.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about, like, how it's going to look at the end when I graduate or anything. Like, I just have to allow God to use me. So, thank you.
That's it. Oh, thank you. And thank you for articulating that so clearly because that is the bottom line, is letting God use us because that – oh, like that's everything, just allowing ourselves to be used because then we're directed, we're guided, we, you know, we have certainty, we feel like we're fulfilling our purpose, we're happy then, like that's everything. And, you know, who knows, like I felt guided to share some things with her that I didn't actually know how she'd take because she didn't, I ended up telling her that Jesus was like, you know, the one who dictated the course, she didn't know that, like I was getting, I was in a way feeling like I was kind of pushing, my comfort zone with what I thought she might be okay with, but it came from such a deep place that I know I was guided to say those things, and who knows how they'll maybe be helpful to her or to me just for having shared that to strengthen it in my own mind. So thank you, Deidre.
Hey, Corinne.
Hi, Mayella.
It's Mayella. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. This is a great topic. I'm thinking about forgiveness. I've been thinking about forgiveness a lot at this phase of my life. And, you know, I think about, like, sometimes when others, like, hurt us, you know, like, I don't know, I used to kind of judge, like, you know, kind of treat them the same way I would treat myself, like, had that kind of same expectation, well, you know, they should know better. But, you know, with that, just with what you're talking about, it just reminded me about, yeah, sometimes other people are hallucinating their own, you know, basically fighting their own dragons. And it's just not personal, you know, it's almost like, oh, they're just, if I take myself out of it, which is my life's work, I feel like just kind of taking myself out of other people's shoes, then I can see that, you know, they're battling too. Like, oh, you know, it's easier to forgive when I think about it in that way.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Oh, well, they're, you know, it's kind of like when I'm battling my dragons, I don't act like I usually act from that place of centeredness.
Right.
So there are people who have had grace and not, you know, held me, you know, account, like nitpick me for those reasons. But, you know, I work on developing that compassion myself to other people too.
Yeah, we're all, thank you so much for that. We're all in different places. We're all, you know, in different stages of the journey, and we need not interfere. You know, we can do what we feel truly guided to do. But the minute we, you know, like if I would have jumped in and be like, oh, well, you should be thinking about your kids' problems this way. Like how that's a correction. You know, we're asked, number one, in the course, it says, do not correct your brother. And number two, how does it feel when somebody says that to us? Like it never feels good. This is just a very quick random story, but I posted, some of you may have seen a very funny, at least it was very funny to me, my chicken Gloria, who is also a lap chicken. I was holding her and doing a yoga pose. Like I had a leg that I was like holding behind me and like my back leg was stretched up and I'm, you know, extending my arm. And somebody posted, and I don't think it's there anymore, but he posted, I don't know who it was, that my hand was backwards, like for the pose. And my ego reaction was immediately like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I'm holding a chicken. Like, how serious is this photo of this yoga pose? And you're feeling the need to correct me. So it came across to me as a correction, and I was able to just, you know, laugh it away. But it doesn't feel good to be corrected. So we always, always, always have to remember that everybody is exactly where they need to be in their journey. And our part, like we said, is to focus on our part, our healing, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our willingness, and express love to our brothers. So
you
thank
know,
you for that,
Mike.
Yes.
That makes me think, like, two things come to mind. One, we can know the truth with someone without having to vocalize it. And we can be an example of the truth for someone, like in the way that we offer them grace or treat them in such a way where they really feel heard and validated, even as they are kind of swimming inside of the dream or the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it's so beautiful that you could be with your friend in that way, like you were knowing the truth for her and not beating her over the head.
Yeah.
And I think that when we're inside of that state, swimming in the illusion like that, and somebody offers grace and not trying to correct us, like that in and of itself is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and while it might not register for a person, like they might not at that moment be registering, oh, this is the truth, being heard, being gotten, being just respected, it lands for people.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So I'm just
it's a really good reminder for me, not only to be that way with other people, but even for myself, when I know that I'm inside of the illusion and the dream, and like, and be able to have some compassion for myself in that moment, rather than saying to myself, oh, I'm a spiritual person, I'm a course student, why am I going through this? Don't I know? Because it irks me to no end when someone tells me to think positive, or they're trying to give me a whole list of positive things. It irks me. And I've done it to people. And it irks me when it's done to me, because I have it like, look, I already know. There's nothing you can tell me. I can tell, and I almost want to scream, like, let me have my dream, you know? Let me have it. I'm on it, and I want to be on it. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, Lishima. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. Great reminders. anybody else have anything that you wanted to add? All right. Okay, I'm just looking for where I left off because I couldn't remember. I think I'll read one more paragraph. I think we're starting at the paragraph, perceptions, laws must be reversed, right? Is that where I left off? I read the one before it. I think that's where we are.
Yeah, that's okay. Where we're at.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Perceptions, laws must be reversed because they are reversals of the laws of truth. The laws of truth forever will be true and cannot be reversed, yet can be seen as upside down. And this must be corrected where the illusion of reversal lies. It is impossible that one illusion be less amenable to truth than are the rest. I love that. I'm going to read that again. It is impossible that one illusion be less amenable to truth than are the rest. In other words, there is no order of difficulty in miracles. But it is possible that some are given greater value and less willingly offered to truth for healing and for help. No illusion has any truth in it. Yet it appears some are more true than others, although this clearly makes no sense at all. All that a hierarchy of illusions can show is preference, not reality. There's another wow. All a hierarchy of illusions can show is preference, not reality. So if we think that there are situations in our life that, you know, are just so much harder to heal than others, that's just showing, that's not showing reality. That's just showing our preference for continuing to listen to ego, you know, for continuing to keep this idea of separation going. That's it. I love, love, love that sentence.
Corinne.
And I love a lot of these sentences. Yes, Paula.
This is something. I have a situation right now. I had some surgery back in September. I had a torn meniscus. And since then, I've had problems with this. And the doctor told me that I now have a bone-on-bone situation. So that's why it's not getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that, there's a belief there that I can't seem to get past.
Okay, yes. So whenever we say to ourselves, the doctors told me, or the doctor said,
yeah,
right there, we need to pause and recognize that that is a belief. You know, it's a doctor of the separation, like the doctor dream figure in the separation, who's telling us what to believe. And we then usually, you know, choose to believe it. We choose to believe what that doctor says. There is a YouTube video of a veteran who was told he would never walk again. I haven't seen this video in ages, so I don't remember details, but I just recently heard somebody talking about it. And the doctor said, you will never walk again. Like, that's what all the doctors were in agreement with. And one day, this man was like, I'm depressed. I've put on 150 pounds. This isn't working anymore, and I need to at least just, you know, try to start to change my mind. And he changed his mind. He refused to listen to what those doctors said, and he's like, you'd never know. He's totally walking like as if nothing ever happened now. So that sentence, the doctors told me, when we say that to ourselves, which I know many of us do, we need to remember that there are no order of difficulties in miracles. Now, I do believe that physical healings are possible, 100%. And I also believe that, you know, there are times, like I'll use myself as an example too, that I'm where I'm at, and, you know, I'm believing this, and so I'm going to go through this experience, but I'm going to repurpose it by bringing, you know, by bringing it to the Holy Spirit, because it's going to be a grand opportunity for waking up. So the underlying belief to look at is always that it's, you know, we believe a separation really happened. We believe that we are these bodies. That's like the core belief to keep looking at. And then to be honest with ourselves, you know, with where we're at and what, you know, what we feel moved to do, whether it's to listen to the doctor, to not listen to the doctor, like, it's up to us. But I just wanted to highlight that the doctor said, you know, dot, dot, dot. That's the moment that we need to recognize that even is a belief. Like, even again, when there's like a witness, a strong witness with like an x-ray or a scan or something, you know, that's quote unquote proving that this is in existence, there are healings, all unexplained healings all of the time.
I think I have mentioned this before on this call, but this, I swear to God, on some level, this is giving me an excuse to retire, because on some level, I feel guilt about leaving that job and the position and the whole, it's such a ego trip. Corinne, it's total ego. And I don't need to do this to leave that job.
Yes,
but there is some freaking belief there, you know, that I keep, well, I'll tell you one thing, I keep handing that belief over to the Holy Spirit, and I become more and more comfortable all the time with just being free of the whole thing. Like, I can't wait to get the hell out of there. So there's something, this like really miraculous on some level, but that ego belief is still, you know.
So I just have to stop and acknowledge what, like, this is big, that what you just articulated, because I know I've done this. I know others on the call have. I know that there are many listening who can relate to this right now. We use sickness, or in whatever form it may be, you know, a physical pain, body stuff, there can probably most of the time, if we're looking deeply enough, like, there can be a positive payoff to hanging on to it. Like you just said, it could give you an excuse to retire. But because you've just seen that, and you just said that you're recognizing and realizing that you don't need this to leave this job, you're willingness to step into that space of, you know, I don't need this anymore. Like, you know, I don't need this to leave this job. I just did that. I think I mentioned a few calls ago where I resigned from a full-time position that I'm in right now that's just not working. It's going fine. It's just extremely time-consuming. I had to resign even though I felt terrible about it. And that said something to the universe. That said something to Spirit in terms of my readiness to step out and do something without, you know, an excuse, because of course I wanted to make up a million excuses and I ended up not doing that. So what you just said was huge, is what I want to really acknowledge, that you, it is true, you do not need this to leave this job. And the fact that you saw that unconscious belief under there, you know, trying to get by, that it's giving you that excuse, the fact that you caught it and you brought it up to the light, that's everything. That's everything.
Yeah.
That's going to push you along way faster, you know, in your journey than the slower route, which is, you know, still using it as an excuse and, you know, that kind of thing. So, wow.
That is so
helpful.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That makes that very clear, that lesson. That gives a really clear example of what that lesson was earlier in the study.
Yeah. For sure.
Just like made sense when Paula was talking. I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
it was so funny, because once we got to this paragraph, perception's laws must be reversed. I mean, it's like, oh, this totally relates.
can I say something?
Sure.
So a couple things came up, and I'll paraphrase so I don't go off onto a tangent. But Paula, thank you for sharing about the knee. And if you want to pop out of the conversation at some point and talk, I don't know if we can do that. I had surgery twice, and it was, we'll talk about it another time. But the miracle, changing the perception and the belief, I had a miracle happen yesterday in a belief system, I believe. I'm not able to cut my own grass right now for a few reasons, and I've been handing it over to spirit. How am I going to do this? Am I going to get one of those non-engine-powered, you know, cuts the grass from the 1950s, mm-hmm. push things? So that's an option.
A push mower.
Exactly. And it makes no noise, and it, like, scissors the grass. Very good for the grass, but anyway, and good for the environment. So, short story, I was talking to my neighbor and just sort of talking about, not sure what I'm going to do yet. I'm going to call a local church, maybe the high school for kids volunteering. 2 minutes later, she comes back. She goes into her house, and she returns and said, my daughter's going to do it for you, and it's going to be every 2 weeks instead of every week. Is that okay by you? We know people, and we're going to take care of it for you. Oh. I didn't even ask for the help, and the help literally just arrived at my doorstep.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't know. It might not seem like a big deal, but I have a pretty big mom.
No, that is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
It really is.
And I remember a couple years ago, but Paula, I remember you saying something similar about help with your yard. Like, it was something similar about that, so, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I know. Funny. That's a big deal. Believe me.
And it just,
it was
changing my mind, so that's all.
Yeah, totally. It was. Thank you, everybody, so much for your shares and your comments and your insights. Gosh, I'm just so grateful, and it was an awesome call. So thank you, everyone. I look forward to reconvening next week, and have a miracle-filled week. I love you all.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks,
Corinne.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.